We begin today's program, though, with the latest installment in our series, Just One Breath, a reporting project on Valley Fever, produced with the Center for Health Journalism. As communities across the Southwest struggle to prevent this sometimes debilitating fungal disease, one community appears to have made progress, California State Prisons, where inmates are at a significantly lower risk of Valley Fever than they used to be. FM89's Carrie Klein explores why, starting with one man who wasn't so lucky.
Richard Neuwentor was barely 3 weeks into his sentence at Taft Correctional Institution when he began to cough and experience chest pain. Within a few days, it was obvious something was wrong.
Yeah, I had the coughing, the night sweat, the appetite was gone, I couldn't eat, I couldn't swallow. Yeah, and I was losing weight really, really fast.
A diagnosis arrived after his second trip to the infirmary. Valley Fever, a fungal disease endemic to the desert Southwest. Kern County, where Taft is located, has the highest Valley Fever rate of any California county. Originally a refugee from the African country of Burundi, Neuwentor had never heard of the disease before arriving at Taft.
Well, the E-Med would tell me about Valley Fever, and I was, what was it? What is it? It was something scary, you know.
Neuwentor was a victim of climate, genetics, and confinement. In 2011, when he was diagnosed, Valley Fever rates in the Southwest were skyrocketing, likely due to a combination of drought and precipitation. And research shows that Africans and African Americans, like Neuwentor, are more prone to the disease than Caucasians. At that time, Valley Fever rates were particularly high within Central Valley prisons. State prisons were reporting hundreds of diagnoses and 6 to 9 deaths from Valley Fever every year. Taft is a federal prison, and its health data have not been made available. But in the last few years, state prisons at least have made changes. They've taken measures to lower the risk to inmates and screen out those most vulnerable. Between 2011 and 2015, their Valley Fever rates fell dramatically, close to 90% overall. Valley Fever during that time became less prevalent all around, but even in the most endemic areas, background rates fell by only 30 to 50%. Neuwentor came to the U.S. in 1992. In 2011, he began a 14-month prison sentence for credit card fraud. Now he lives on a suburban cul-de-sac outside Sacramento with his mother and girlfriend Emily, who's cooking lunch.
I think she's making some ground beef sauce or something, chili sauce or something like that.
Neuwentor served his sentence, but his time in prison will always remain in his system. Twice a day, he twists open a thick bottle of itraconazole, an antifungal medication he'll probably take for the rest of his life. The huge pink and blue pills keep him alive, but their side effects are almost as bad as Valley Fever itself, and they prevent him from enjoying Emily's cooking.
Morning, you wake up, you need a little bit of energy, but by the day goes by, you just started to just feel the pain in the joint. Of course, the stomach is still on fire because the medicine is kind of powerful, and fatigue. Sometimes get dizzy.
Neuwentor isn't alone. In the last decade, over 3,500 state inmates have contracted Valley Fever while doing time. Many still struggle to manage the disease. Nonetheless, state prisoners appear to be at a lower risk than they used to be, especially in the Central Valley. Those improvements did not happen quickly or easily. In fact, it took outside intervention to bring the numbers down. Beginning in 2006, the California Department of Corrections began excluding inmates with weakened immune systems due to factors like HIV or chemotherapy from all 8 state prisons in the Valley. But Valley Fever rates still spiked. More sweeping interventions arrived in 2013 from the federal receiver appointed to oversee healthcare in state prisons. He mandated that African Americans and Filipinos be excluded from Avenal State Prison in Kings County and Pleasant Valley State Prison in Fresno County. Those are the most at-risk ethnicities and the 2 riskiest state prisons. Janet Mulbatani is a health administrator with the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation.
So we're taking precautions for all of the prisons in the Central Valley, and we are taking extra special precautions for the 2 prisons that have the very high rates of Valley Fever.
Those 2 prisons have also modified their landscaping to minimize dust, and they allow inmates to stay indoors when wind speeds are high. But perhaps the biggest change arrived in 2015 on the recommendation of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It's a skin test called Spheriosol that can detect Valley Fever immunity, and it's offered to every inmate entering the state prison system. An individual who tests positive is immune.
So if someone comes into the reception center and then they test negative, We put a medical restriction on those patients so that they are not sent to live in Avenal or Pleasant Valley State Prison.
People gain immunity after successfully fighting off the disease, and some may never know they have. In a mass screening in 2015, around 35,000 inmates in the California prison system took the test, and 9% were shown to be immune. The CDC recommended Spheriosol to the Department of Corrections shortly after it became commercially available in 2014. The FDA has not actually approved of using the test for this purpose, but like other medical products, it can be used off-label. Tom Chiller is chief of the Mycotic Disease Branch of the CDC, and he refers to Valley Fever by its scientific nickname, COXI.
Given the fact that in the California Department of Corrections, they were having such high rates of COXI, we knew that we needed to do whatever we could to try to help them lower the risk.
The CDC predicted Spheriosol would be the most effective prevention tool used so far, but Chiller says it's still too early to calculate the test's precise impact. Sharing that opinion is Dr. John Galgiani, director of the University of Arizona's Valley Fever Center for Excellence.
I think they should be given credit for the drop to some extent, but it'll take time to see if it stays low, to see if it's because of the policies that are now put in place.
But Taft Correctional Institution, where Richard Nuentor did time, is a different story. It's federally owned and privately operated. According to a representative of MTC, the company that runs the prison, incoming inmates are provided with information about Valley Fever risk, and they are not offered Spheriosol. The representative did not reveal if at-risk inmates are relocated to other facilities. Nuentor may not have the energy to hold down a job, but he has been keeping busy. Earlier this year, he and another Taft inmate won a landmark court case that granted inmates who contract the disease in federal prison the right to sue the U.S. government. Lawsuits have been filed against the state prison system for years. It's one path of recourse for Californians who do their time and come out with an additional life sentence. For Valley Public Radio, I'm Carrie Klein.